Comfortable in our voice or in video.
And so, without further ado.
Edition of Outside the Box. I'm your host, Alex Ansari, here tonight, as usual, to discuss and analyze the police state control grid, the evilarchy that is spreading its diabolical tentacles throughout the entire world, throughout planet Earth, right now in every country as we speak. Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Radio is with us again. Thanks, Clyde.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay, now the Surveillance Society has been discussed with great detail before 9/11. But the problem is that most people today associate the Orwellian nature of things today, the Big Brother reality, the New America, with terrorism, or the so-called war on terror. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we will be informing you of one of the latest breaking stories by going directly to the source. Now, our story tonight takes us all the way to Georgia. You're going to find out that now Big Brother is invading the urinals, the stalls, and the bathrooms in middle schools, elementary schools, and high schools. Now, in Jasper County, Georgia, a Georgia mother said her 8th grade son found a video camera taping in the school bathroom this week. But now, he is the one in trouble. Cindy Champion says her son, Mac, and a few of his friends took the camera out of the ceiling because they felt it violated their privacy. Champion says her son brought the camera home to show her that afternoon. She says that when she contacted the school, she found out the principal put the camera there. She says the principal told her he put the camera there to catch students vandalizing, not terrorism, but to catch them destroying school property. Champion now says her son is suspended for taking school property. Cindy Champion and her son Mac are with us tonight on Outside the Box as we go directly to the source. And with that, Cindy, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Now, Cindy, give Clyde and I a brief summary before we have Mac on what you're involved with right now.
Well, basically, we're involved with treading through a mountain of red tape. That's been one of the hardest things in dealing with this issue is, getting mixed reviews or mixed decisions and mixed opinions about what the government has the right to and not to do, and that's setting aside my personal opinion as a parent.
Uh-huh. Now, tell us a little bit about your experiences with working with the school and their reaction to your outrage on this particular issue.
Well, strangely enough, I withheld the decision that the school had placed the camera because that it was so outrageous that they might have done that. There's no precedent, there's no signage, there's not any kind of school edict that allows the cameras to be placed in the bathroom. So we weren't really sure that was the case. When I went to the school with the camera, I was still maintaining an open mind that perhaps this was a rogue incident. Maybe a student was playing a prank or something of that effect. The school surprised me by not only claiming that they had put the camera there, but not wanting to answer any questions at all, and didn't seem at all concerned. That here I am, a mom of a 13-year-old, and I'm wanting to know who placed the camera, why the camera was placed there, what was being filmed, etc. And they didn't seem at all concerned about that. They were more concerned about the fact that my son had this camera at home.
When I was going through all these articles on this story and other stories, I mean, you would think with the two keywords here, camera and student suspended, a rational thinker or a real American, at least someone who loves freedom, would say, he must have been suspended for putting the camera there because cameras filming people in the urinal is wrong. But that's actually not the case. It's the other way around. I'd like to talk with Mac, your son, for just a few minutes on his first count experience in this story. All right.
Okay. Here he is.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Mac.
Hey.
Hey, so tell us from the beginning this entire story in your words.
Well, we were sitting there at lunch or sometime around there, and we heard that there was a camera in there. And then we went in there, and right after lunch, we went to class, and then our class went to the bathroom. And then we saw a camera there, and we went and got a teacher and asked if that's a camera and if he knew anything about it, and he didn't know that it was there or anything. And
went in there. Where exactly was the camera in the bathroom?
Well, you walk in the door, and there's four urinals, and it's on top of the third one. And then right across from the last urinal, there's the stalls and the sinks.
So did you think a student was responsible for putting the camera in there? Did you even suspect that your school administration was involved?
Well, I didn't know that they were.
No, so you didn't think it was your school administration. You just thought it was a strange camera that was probably put there as a prank, right?
Right.
And so you were feeling as though you were doing your duty as a student to remove that camera because you felt that maybe somebody was doing something diabolical or bad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what I was thinking, is that if I were to come into my school and I saw a camera there, I would think that maybe somebody was trying to pull a prank. Maybe somebody was trying to, actually videotape kids having going to the bathroom, right?
Right.
Mac, how large was this camera?
It was about 3 inches long and about 2 inches wide.
About that size? Okay, it's pretty small. Like about the size of a baseball, small baseball or some around there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was like a computer camera for to view on a computer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was like one of those maybe webcams or something like that. Was it? What shape was it?
It was attached to a rectangle, and it had the microchips in there, and then that's where the power was or something, and that's where they keep the tapes, or I don't know.
Once you took the camera down, you said it was up in the ceiling filming the urinals?
Yeah, it was aimed towards the stalls, but you could see, if you stood in front of the last urinal, you could see your whole entire body.
So that is almost perverse. I mean, that is perverse. It's like, I wouldn't even want to go to the bathroom if I knew somebody was watching me. I mean, don't you're not allowed any privacy when you're in school? I mean, I'm sure those were the things where you were thinking about when you removed that camera.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Right.
Now, once you took the camera down, Mac, you went back to class, or you went straight home, or you went to the principal's office? What happened at that point?
It was at the end of the day when they released to go home.
Uh-huh.
We went in there, and we took the camera down, and then I took it home to my mom.
So you told your mother, you said, look what they have in our bathrooms.
Yeah.
What did she say to you?
She was like, you're kidding. And she didn't like it at all, and she thought that it could have been a kid that put it up there or something.
Mm-hmm. And then your school called or your mom called the school, and the school suspended you for 5 days?
Yep.
Instead of rewarding you?
Huh?
At that point, at what point did you go back to school, or have you been back to school since?
Well, I took the camera down, and then the next day they suspended me. And then 5 days later I went back.
Did you explain to them that you thought you were doing your duty and trying to warn the other students of perhaps some danger to their privacy? I mean, did you explain to them, I think that I'm acting in a rational way? I mean, we're violating school children's privacy here. Did you tell them that?
Yeah, I told them it's wrong, and none of us liked it being in the bathroom.
Uh-huh. But they suspended you anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Mac, when you went back and you went back to your regularly scheduled classes and so on, what kind of interaction have you had with your classmates? How did they feel about what you did?
Most of the boys thought it was just stupid that the principal put it up there, the high school principal.
So they were supporting you?
Yeah.
How did some of the teachers or school administration treat you?
They didn't really talk about it. They just act like they normally do.
They'd probably lose their jobs if they supported you, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because they saw what happened to you when you tried to do something right, and they didn't want to do the right thing either for a fear they're going to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Okay, Mac, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Without pushing our personal politics, some of the topics we talk about on this show on you, I will tell you this. What you did was right. What you did was right. And as you grow up, you're going to find more and more people saying what you did was wrong. But you did the right thing, and you are a good kid. I don't know what your grades are like. I don't know who you are. But what you did was right. And what you did was set an example. And I don't know if you've noticed, but several people did exactly what you did after you did it. Some of them were expelled. There were some high school kids that did exactly what you did the week later. So what you did was set a precedent, set an example that, hey, it is not cool. It is not the right thing to do to film young boys going to the bathroom. It's a very, very simple issue. And with that, I applaud what you did.
Yeah.
Thanks. Put your mom back on, would you?
Yeah,
now,
here she is.
Thank you, Mac. Hello. Cindy, I bet you're pretty proud of Mac.
I'm very proud of him. He has a deep sense of who he is and what he should expect as far as his rights. So, you know, it's a good thing.
Now, tell us a little bit about the support that you've gotten as we wind this down after this incident, other than Alex Jones, some of the receptiveness of the media with the story.
Well, most everyone is under the impression, with the exception of lawmakers who are involved with the school system and the school system, everyone else is shocked and awed, I guess would be the best way to describe it. They've been very supportive. Of course, nobody likes to have this kind of attention in your small community, so you know, there is that element. But most parents that I've spoken with agree that it's an issue that needs to be clarified. And you know, I have to say the most disappointing thing that I've had going on is, number one, the punishment of the students when, you know, they felt violated by this whole situation. And then the idea that the school feels absolutely puts no thought into protecting the children's rights, and that really concerns me.
Would your opinion would have changed if they would have notified you and your student that they would be videotaped during school activities?
Somewhat. Certainly, if the boys walked in the bathroom and were aware. That you know that there is signage, that there is this, you know, that there are doors on the stalls, you know, that there are not the use of urinals, that there's no point of exposure. I still don't like the idea personally as a parent. I can't do it. I wouldn't want to do it at my house. If I did, defects would take my kids away. I think they should be afforded the same rights in school. But. You know, again, this is an issue not even for safety. Mac, as a matter of fact, 2 months ago fell and busted his head in the bathroom alone, hit his head on the sink, had to actually go and have stitches or staples, and he had to walk out to get help from the bathroom. It wasn't even a safety issue. It wasn't a drug. Kids were getting beaten up. This had to do with vandalism, which has been going on forever and ever.
So they value property over your child's safety.
Exactly.
and his rights to privacy in the bathroom.
That's right.
Which is
exactly right.
Which is out and out materialistic greed, right?
That's exactly right.
Yes.
It had more to do with the principal's vendetta to try to catch a vandal in action than it did, you know, my children's privacy or even safety or anything else that they might, you know, have considered. I just felt like it was a completely irrelevant excuse.
Now, Cindy, you set up your website, PACIR.org, in a matter of days. Did you do that yourself?
No.
I'm still trying to learn how to run the website on my own. I can't get it, but go ahead.
Well, of course, this issue touches the hearts of many. And, you know, we all care, or most of us anyway, care about our children. And I had someone volunteer that I've worked with over the years, volunteer to do the website for me. And
now, Cindy, you have an interesting side website for your day job. Tell us a little bit about that, because I just got a look at it today.
Oh, well, I operate a company called Track News, or Track TV Incorporated, and we store television newscasts in and around the Southeast and certain national programming, et cetera. And that's part of the reason why Mac felt I would be probably a better choice to handle the situation with a camera. So, you know, he was bringing the camera not only to Mom, but also to someone who would understand how to deal with these issues. So, you know, I think he did well. It was somebody, you know, he'll tell you, yes, I can trust my mom. So, you know, we're doing that. And I've been doing that for a long time. Unfortunately, if you've watched the news over the years, you understand a little bit more about what's going on in this country, which is, you know, something I probably would rather not know. But
Well, we'd be happy to send you a DVD of this show, and you can put it up, but that's a side issue.
That would be perfect, absolutely perfect.
Okay.
And Pacer, you know, Pacer so far is working well. I launched Pacer because we needed to have a medium from which we could communicate as parents and informed individuals. And I have people going into the website and, you know, stating their preference with a survey as to whether they want cameras or not, whether they have cameras or not in their district's public bathrooms for the schools, and then also letting me know what district they're in. We're beginning to compile that information so that we can address the problem, you know, state by state if we have to. And that's working very well. The other thing that has come about in this last little bit is I've had concerned individuals come in and tell me about other incidences, you know, with regards to there was another camera that was found in a high school bathroom in Wichita, Kansas.
And, was that the kid who was expelled?
Yes, absolutely. He was initially expelled for the rest of the year.
That's interesting, the timeliness of it. Either the timeliness of the cameras going up in the bathrooms and or the idea of students taking down the cameras. Cindy?
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm not sure exactly what prompted this other child. I have yet to be able to get in contact with the parents.
They were a little different than you. They said what he did was wrong. They would actually agreed with the school. They didn't agree that their student was going to get expelled, but they said, we admit what he did was wrong. Cindy, I'd like to thank you for being on Outside the Box, and we're going to be in touch soon with the DVD.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now, like I said earlier in the program, the Surveillance Society has been around for a very long time. It's been written about in things like 1984, and Brave New World, and there have been many movies about it, Enemy of the State, for example. But a lot of these things kind of paint the picture, at least in the public eye, as a fairy tale. You know, but actually, with the amount of technology that we're dealing with tonight, that we're dealing with in this country, things we're talking about now, it makes a lot of those things passe. And like a walk through the park, for example, if you bring up article number 2, you're going to find out that, oh, it's time to renew the Patriot Act. In fact, the Patriot Act and the drug war have now become one. Now, in this particular one, it says the House passed, and this is according to Associated Press, a 5-week extension of the Patriot Act on Thursday, and sent it to the Senate as Congress scrambled to prevent expiration of anti-terror law enforcement provisions on December 31st. Now, without action by Congress,
the several provisions enacted in the days following the 2001 attacks are due to expire. Bush has repeatedly urged Congress not to let that happen. Now, Bush carefully sidestepped the dispute that developed overnight between Republicans in the House and Senate. Now, this article, like many others, is painting the picture that this extension is okay. There are a lot of quotes in this article. The articles tonight are located on alexansary.blogspot.com. And if you go through and read these mainstream articles, you're going to find that they're saying this is a good thing. It's a matter of balancing privacy and surveillance. And
but what they don't tell you, Alex, is that when the Attorney General spoke to the groups, I was watching C-SPAN at the time, Gonzalez and Chertoff both used intimidation to get people to think again about not passing the Patriot Act. The president himself has also been angry about those who wish to stall the Patriot Act. But it was almost to the point, and it was almost creepy. Well, it was very creepy. Why should I say almost? It was totally creepy to watch the Attorney General and Chertoff both speak and say that we don't pass this Patriot Act, give it a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe even a month or so, and our country would be under attack again. They came right out and said that, which once again fortifies the speculation, if not the assumption, that all terrorist attacks in this country are permitted, and they're permitted for the sole purpose of pushing political agendas and giving power, ultimate power, to the president with a militarized, tyrannical hand to basically declare war on a stateless, formless enemy that continues in this perpetual warfare that will give more power and more expansion of the military-industrial complex and the Leviathan government that we've been warned about for many years. Not just now, but before. And it's not just Bush, but it's what the Clinton administration did, it's what the Johnson administration did, the Nixon administration did, and many of these presidents, Nixon and, of course, Clinton, were called on their crimes.
I think one thing a lot of people have to understand is we're not just talking about the government spying on you. We're talking about corporate, private, independent agencies spying on you as well, and then sharing that information later on through the databases with the government and selling your information. Article number 3. This is out of The Independent. December 22nd, 05. Britain will be the first country to monitor every car journey. Now, it's going to monitor all the vehicles and their movements, and it's going to be recorded. A new national surveillance system will hold the records for at least 2 years. Using a network of cameras that can automatically read every passing number plate, the plan is to build a huge database of vehicle movements so that the police and security services can analyze any journey a driver has made over several years. Now, the network is going to incorporate and bringing together thousands of existing CCTV cameras, which are being converted to read number plates automatically night and day to provide 24/7 coverage of everything that's going on. We've talked a lot on this program and shows like this about how now cameras themselves are being given AI, the ability to watch something and when something goes down, report it. Now, things get deeper and deeper with the Patriot Act because even the Police State Control Grid Surveillance Society, Ohio, has its own version of the Patriot Act in Article number 4. All these are on alexansary.blogspot.com. Bill would allow arrests for no reason in public place. Citizens would have to show ID. Now, one state representative, this is Ohio, said it resembles Gestapo-style tactics of government, and there could be changes coming on the streets of Ohio's small towns and big cities. The Ohio Patriot Act had made it to the Taft's desk, and with the stroke of a pen, it will be most likely become the toughest terrorism bill in the country. If you don't give your name, if you don't give your address, if you don't give your birth date, you will go to jail. There are your papers. There are your papers, please.
One thing you need to keep in mind when you're hearing about what Alex is talking about with these laws, the Patriot Act extension, the Ohio Patriot Act, heavy-handed Patriot Act in their constitution or whatever it is they call it now, a damn piece of paper President Bush called it about a week ago. Keep in mind this. When you're looking at these powers that all of a sudden come into being where President Bush uses executive power without a wartime emergency or crisis going on in this country, what you're looking at is you're looking at no division, absolutely no division between the home front and the insurgency of the axis of evil. You see, if there is a government that needs to spy on its own people, it is because that government is criminal. And they are afraid that anyone who can put their minds together and group together to think or outthink or outsmart this government, or is opposing or politically opposed to this government. If anyone's out there that's doing that, they are no different than the insurgents or the Muslim terrorists. They're no different. You're going to be put in the same group, the same category, and you'll be labeled as such. You'll be numbered as such, and you will be jailed as such. So this new surveillance power that President Bush says that he thinks is required to keep the war on terror in check is just another excuse to create a militarized regime, a dictatorship, if you will, rather than a president or a ruler that is a benevolent ruler. And so you need to keep that in mind. And to be honest, these types of practices are impeachable offenses, if not all the other impeachable offenses that President Bush has basically earned since the lies about the war and everything else. I mean, Nixon did the same thing with his political opponents. He used surveillance against them. He was called to be impeached. Johnson did it too, but he wasn't called to be impeached. Clinton was impeached for his situation with Monica Lewinsky in the grand jury, but he should have been impeached for his illegal surveillance and problems with Kosovo. Yeah. So we're looking at criminal regimes from Kennedy on down, criminal regimes that have been occupying the White House and committing acts against the American people. And so if I talk about impeaching the president, it's not because I want a Democrat in there that's going to do better. What I want is I want to have people acknowledge the fact that we are in a criminal regime, and our country is being turned into a prison camp where we can't move without showing our papers, without showing our documents.
Once we begin to understand that it's not left, it's not right, it's not black, it's not white, it's not red, it's not blue, it's the state versus you, then we find ourselves being flooded by information. I've been intending to play the trailer for Martial Law, 911 Rise of the Police State. You can find more information on Infowars.com. It says on the back, out of the ashes of the 9/11 tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution is shredded. America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but roots and history of its orchestrators. From the front lines of the police state to the darkest corner of the secret society that controls it, Martial Law reveals the master plan of a group hell-bent on capturing America today and tomorrow, the world. When we come back, we will get to the rest of the articles, which are located on alexansary.blogspot.com and the places I link to, and then we will take your phone calls. Until then, stay tuned.
In the early years of the 21st century, terrorism was used by governments across the world as a pretext to scare their populations into submission. Life became a surveillance grid nightmare, with every individual's actions ruthlessly catalogued and recorded by the state. Secret arrests, checkpoints, and warrantless searches spread. The final incremental march of the police state, culminating in open martial law. This is the story of how the elite sold their people into slavery and scared the once proud and brave people of the West into submitting to being cannon fodder in wars for world domination.
Our enemies have made clear the danger they pose to our security.
We're just right outside the security perimeter at this national security event in New York City, just a few hundred yards away from Madison Square Garden, where at least 10,000 police are stationed, supposedly providing security for the Republican National Convention and all the delegates and media that are going to be here.
Sadly, we live in a world where, for the foreseeable future, you're going to have to provide security all the time.
Who do you work for?
Well, you need to tell us. I mean, you know, this is a free country.
Officer, can you tell me this guy's badge number? Secret police? Just covers his badge up? Secret police in America.
This is what's called ambush journalism, and I disrespect you for that as well. So thank you and goodbye.
In the ritual?
That's none of your damn business.
We're also going to be talking to the protesters and finding out if the protesters are discussing real issues or if it's more of this phony left-right paradigm.
On Monday, that Zogby poll was released that showed 50% of New York City residents believe the government had foreknowledge and made a conscious decision not to intervene. 50% of the people who live in New York believe that.
Both candidates are cousins. They're skull and bones. They're bringing in big government and tyranny. The evidence is clear. The military-industrial complex was intimately involved in 9/11.
Many of the nearly 2,000 protesters arrested over the past few days have been taken to an old bus depot on Manhattan's west side.
We should call this facility what it is, and it's a concentration camp. It's the Pier 57 concentration camp.
Oh yeah, folks. We're in the middle of it now.
Stop exploiting the 9/11 tragedy!
Ladies and gentlemen, here is your Fuji-sponsored surveillance blimp.
Rollback of our civil liberties, just like them telling us we can't stand on the sidewalk here. Yeah, we can. We went to court and we can.
The Republicans are here and taking advantage of the 3,000 people that died right behind me for their own selfish politics, and it's very sad.
Now, George W. Bush is a great man. Let's look at the year in review. He's extending the Patriot Act. He's outsourcing torture to North Africa, controlling your life more and more. But it's not just Bush. You know, it's Blair as well, as we talked about quite a bit. In the UK, they're doing a lot of the same things to prepare America for what's to come. But there is a poll right now on MSNBC.com. You can go to my blog and I'll link you to it. The question is, do you believe President Bush's actions justify impeachment? 103,000 people have voted on this poll. And the answer is yes. 85% say between the secret spying, the deceptions leading to war, and more like 9/11, there is plenty to justify putting him on trial.
I agree. They should put him on trial. Not only that, but executive order after executive order that he's claimed that he has now, they, you know, we need to investigate this, and you need to speak out.
Clyde, all those bumper stickers out there, sorry to interrupt you, that say Bush Cheney 04, those people are lost. I don't want to say those people are your enemy, but they are lost. If you have a bumper sticker like that, nothing I'm saying is going to explain anything to you, because you have a brick wall that says this world is perfect, torture's good. Torture's fantastic.
This war is phony. It's the phoniest war ever, and it's a war to boost political ambitions. It's a war to also boost the competition of creeds.
And the more violence that we kick out there, Clyde, the more terror, the more bombings, we are actually creating and breeding the nature of terrorism in other countries. Don't give them a reason to hate us. Don't do that. Don't do that to us. Don't do that to our country as it stands on its last legs.
See, they don't hate us for our freedom here in America. That's not why they're hating us. They're hating us now because we have basically neglected those things that we stand for and believe in, and we have just rolled over and played dead. And not only that, but we have decided to adapt. We have decided to adapt to what other countries are doing. Take a look at, in fact, we brought up this just a little bit, about the new national surveillance network that is being put into place in the UK right now as they prepare for their European Union. They're going to be tracking car journeys, and this has been in the making now for 25 years and is the only beginning of the plans to monitor movements of all British citizens. Now, what they've done in the UK is that they convinced a group of people that having cameras everywhere in the subways and in places in public places would eliminate the terrorist threats there. Well, we had bombings there on July 7th, bombings that were not prevented by cameras. In fact, they happened even with the cameras there. Cameras are not deterrents.
So important to understand.
The Surveillance Society is not a deterrent. The Surveillance Society is put in place not to protect you, but to protect government and to basically allow government ways by which they can confiscate and not supply, and not be able to supply as evidence. Remember, the Surveillance Society is what gave us the riots in Los Angeles with the Rodney King case. The idea of having a camera as a man was being beaten and then have a verdict come down showing that they were not guilty Now, how does that happen? How does it happen we see police officers beating a man and then saying that he's not guilty and then creating riots? It will cause nothing but chaos and political rancor within the system, which will cause us to eat ourselves from within. You want to see an apocalypse, this is how it's going to happen. It's going to happen with the surveillance society and the police state grid that they're trying to force down the throats of people, and people just lay back and say, well, it's the way of the world. But if we impeach the president, or if we bring him to trial, if we bring him to trial, then maybe we will stand up for what we believe in. And I think people need to start speaking about the impeachment proceedings now. It's not about lying to the grand jury. It's about lying to the American people about war, lying to the American people about the surveillance society and the police state grid. And those who are following it need to stop following it now and realize that our freedoms are on the line.
You know what I find humorous, Bullis, Clyde? Just take a break for a sec.
Sure.
We're talking about things that are extremely black and white. Very, just like it is written down on paper, what is exactly happening as it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wall that I was talking about, from all the programming which we've talked about on previous shows of the mind control, I mean, it for us, when we investigate these things, it's overwhelming.
Sure.
You know, we're going to 10 different websites, we're going, what stories do we go with on Outside the Box out of hundreds of stories? It takes us 10 minutes to find these articles. Literally, it takes us 5 to 10 minutes to get these articles and print them out. But it takes hours and hours and hours to understand the larger plan. Now, in article number 5, this is a brief RFID update. We had Liz McIntyre of Spy Chips on recently. Now, the BBC reports that jail battery boost is coming for radio tags. Now, the Japanese company NEC has developed a lightweight, flexible battery that is less than a millimeter thick. It could be recharged in half a minute. The amount of products that we're starting to see from not just Walmart, but other groups are getting hip to the idea that, hey, it's time to move into the RFID tracking, tracing, GPS state of consciousness, state of the world.
You know, a lot of people talk about, we've been talking about too, about your First Amendment rights. A lot of people talk about their Second Amendment rights because they are obsessed about their Second Amendment rights. But what we need to talk about here is our Fourth Amendment rights and how the spirit of the Fourth Amendment is being violated with this unlawful monitoring of you. Unlawful search and seizure.
For those of you who don't know the Fourth Amendment, it's to be secure in your persons, places, things.
You need to have privacy. It's basically giving you the right to privacy.
It's also the right to travel.
And the right to travel and the right to do all those other things. You know, kids getting cameras shoved in their faces in bathrooms in Georgia and places all over the country. You know, I saw something, and I want to comment on this. I saw a report on K2 regarding a Vancouver, it was in Vancouver where they were showing students. They were having an assembly, and they had students all gathered around in the gymnasium, and they were showing them dogs attacking backpacks full of marijuana, basically showing them how dogs can search their lockers and take out the drugs, which was, in my opinion, threatening. And it also shows the students that, hey, there are no rights to privacy at all, and we'll bring the dogs in. And I swear, if I was a parent and my kid was sitting in an assembly like that, I would have taken the school to task, saying, I don't want my kid to be programmed into thinking that every time he comes to school, he's going to be looked at with a camera or actually bullied by a dog or even a police officer carrying a gun when my son or my daughter is unarmed. We're taking the police state to the school, and we're basically programming them to be good little serfs, good little slaves for the new world order that they're already putting into works with a president that lies, and a president that unlawfully is monitoring you and tapping your phones, all for the sake of terrorism, and a Patriot Act that throws out the Constitution that President Bush calls just a goddamn piece of paper. This is your new government. This is your new militarized regime. This is your new imperial cult. This new Roman Empire that is grasping at us, and people are willing just to let it go because they're afraid they're going to die in some terrorist attack. Well, I want to tell you, most of you are going to die mundane, and you're not going to be killed in a terrorist attack. It's just not going to happen. And they want you to think it will, but it's not going to.
Well, and a lot of people just think that the police right now are in the military just there to help us, but even the New York Times is saying that, well, yes, in fact, police are infiltrating protests, the videotapes show. Undercover New York City police officers have conducted covert surveillance in the last 16 months of people protesting the Iraq War, bicycle riders taking part in mass rallies, and even mourners at a street vigil for a cyclist killed in an accident. That's ridiculous, a series of videotapes show. Now, in glimpses and in glaring detail, the videotape images reveal the robust presence of disguised officers or others working with them at 7 public gathering since August 2004. You saw in that last video that Alex Jones was documenting the secret police, taking pictures of everything there. We have the same thing here. The officers hold signs. They ride with you. They hold flowers. I mean, this is New York Times, folks. They're even admitting the obvious. At the vigil for the cyclists, an officer in biking gear wore a button that said, "I am a shameless agitator." She also carried a camera and videotaped the roughly 15 people present. They collect information. They did a lot of this at the Republican National Convention, which is really a martial law staging ground for what was to come, as well as Hurricane Katrina. Now, it also goes on to say, until 9/11, the secret monitoring of events where people expressed their opinions was amongst the most tightly limited of police powers. Wrong! We had the 70s, we had some of the other organizations going on then. So Surveillance Society goes back. It's trying to tell you in this article that Surveillance Society is just a post-9/11 reality.
It's not. And what it is the post-9/11 reality is the demanding of the police state and the Surveillance Society with people who don't understand how volatile the situation is with this and how it can cause more chaos than it's worth. It's not going to help matters. It's going to boost the idea of the Leviathan government, the idea of the imperial cult, the idea of the hegemonistic war type mentality that is going to spread like a cancer throughout the world. They're not going to be happy until we are in universal civil war. We're looking at worldwide civil war where no one can trust anyone and we're divided, red state, blue state, Democrat, Republican. It's going to be, they're going to divide till no one can agree on what's the most important thing. And as Alex said earlier, it's not about red state, blue state, it's about the state versus you. It's the idea that, are you strong enough and do you have the guts and the stamina to stand up to these people and tell them that this is not your America? This is post-9/11 America. It's post-9/11 mayhem. It's post-9/11 fear, and it needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to stop now. And we need to acknowledge that this problem exists. And once we acknowledge it, then we can go from there.
I would like to make a special announcement. It has now been 1 year since the first broadcast of Outside the Box, which was on December 26th, 2004. Now, since that time that we did that first show, or I did that first show, it was a long road to where we are today, to where I'm working on my first documentary, where I'm working on the blog, I'm working on the MP3s being uploaded to omnisoundradio1.net, which we'll bring up in just a minute. But I mean, it's been tough. It is tough, balancing a lot of things. But it's like, I'm not happy in life unless I fight the oppressors, okay? I'm responsible for my own freedom. I'm responsible for my own self-image. But if I just stand by and watch what is happening, you know, it's emotional. It's tragic because there are a lot of people that are doing that right now. As we move the tone of the show to the next part, you know, we do need to address that it is the holidays. Now, politics aside now, Christmas time or Hanukkah or whatever, it's a tough time for a lot of people for a number of reasons. Not everyone has the finances to go out and buy gifts from the corporations to give to other people. That is an American custom. That is putting your money in the corporate machine during one time of the year is a corporate custom. The red Santa Claus suit that you see, that particular fat man image was created by the Coca-Cola company. I'm here to tell you that if you're spending Christmas alone, if you're cold, if you're watching this show on a rerun during Christmas, you're not alone. There are many like you. But don't judge yourself on someone else's standards and BS. If you don't have the money, if you don't have the family, it's tough. It's really tough. I challenge everyone watching this program tonight, and I really, really want to say this, Clyde, that during this break that we have, because we're going to be off the air for a few weeks during the break here, they're going to be doing some inventory, that people take the time to find out what matters for them. I challenge you to take the time over this break, if you are fortunate to have any time, to find out what matters in your life, to find out what moves you, if you haven't already, what you're passionate about, what creative energy flows, whether it's art or it's music or it's politics or it's something outside of this particular box. Okay? We live in a very fast society where a lot of things are happening very quickly, politically, economically, financially. scholastically. A lot of things on our planet right now are changing. And we take that time, we stay calm, and we realize that right now on this planet, there is something more important than our little ideas and our pocketbook. As Clyde has said before at Ground Zero Lounge, many Americans are now, even in the city, choosing between the idea of eating and heating. As the fight for natural resources goes on, whether it's fluctuated or manipulated, either way, there's scarcity. And people are suffering right now. And the Oregon Food Bank, for example, is, during this time of year especially, and especially this year, they're strapped. Now, I may have conflicting messages on whether the system can be defeated or not. I understand that. There's an email that came this week that asked me, Alex, do you think the system can be beat? And here's my answer, as far as the solution side. As we stand right now, the collective path of worshiping the state and the mother government is drastically changing the American dream into the American nightmare, or as Clyde has said, the idea of the America as opposed to the AmeriCult. For those of you watching the program for the first time, I'm not just talking about George Bush. I'm talking about plans that were put in place long before he was sexually conceived. Now think how far back history goes and how long it took to build up this corrupt system. It did not start with Bush. And it's not going to end with George W. Bush in 2008. And we will be here as long as cable access is here, documenting it as it goes down. Now, it's the collective energy of the entire planet, Clyde, I feel, that everybody pushes their energy into love, into creativity, understanding what makes America great, what makes humanity great, what makes the Earth great. Now, until there's that big shift, nothing's going to happen. But what's required, so we don't go into another cycle of oppression in the next century, in the next millennium, is that people understand what is really happening by putting their partisan politics aside and dealing with on an individual spiritual level where we're greedy, where we're full of hate and rage and anger and disinformation and lies. And as long as you're participating in that waveform, that vibration, these are some of the concepts that you hear David Icke talk about. Alex Jones doesn't go this route. I do. And that is a part where Americans are responsible. Clyde talks about this as well, that we're responsible for our own personal growth, our own spiritual evolution. And that does not mean falling into a religious categorized box that tells you every little detail, what hat you wear, how many times you kick your foot, how many times you kick yourself in the ass. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a religious thing. And until people grasp that concept, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. We can have World War III or we can have World War IV, depending on how you look at it, to teach us a lesson about humanity. But the question remains, do you need that? Do you need that major nuke that's dropped on your city, that's dropped on your doorstep? It is the right path when we fight this thing.
All I can say is Alex is correct when he speaks. He's speaking from the heart here about how he feels. And this holiday season, what really has been getting me is the whole business of the war on Christmas and how a lot of people are offended because people are using the term happy holidays. All I can say is that, yes, there are many holidays besides Christmas that are being celebrated this time. And as tolerance seems to take a backseat because we're having a lot of people voicing their phony outrage and their political rancor in order to sell books and to get ratings on a typical Fox network, I just want to let you know this. I'm not offended if someone says happy holidays to me, and I'm a Christian, and I don't think many Christians are offended by this, but what I want you to say is that Christ and whatever religious beliefs are being expressed during this time, Christmas, Hanukkah, all of those holidays that we talk about during this time of year are all based on light. It's the idea of the winter leaving us and the light returning. Let 2006 be that year where light returns to your heart, and enlightenment is a part of your life, and you become illuminated in the new way of thinking, and that is a thinking of progress and unity rather than division and hatred and bigotry that is placing us at odds with everything. And let's not have our government encourage us to hate each other. Let's have our government encourage us to at least work towards a better life. They're believing that if they bring Armageddon to us, it will nudge God closer. It's not going to nudge God any closer. What it's going to do is going to unleash a Leviathan demon that may come and just take us all out. And I don't want that to happen. I want people to know that the future is hopeful, that there is some brightness to the future. And what is Christmas for but to look in the children's eyes and see that sparkle and know that magic, and hopefully they'll be able to experience it with their children.
I think a lot of things label this program as being negative and dark. I know my mom kind of thinks that way, and she's into metaphysics and spirituality and things like that. But really, it starts with informing yourself.
Right.
But if you stop there, you will go mad. And if you try to force people to think like you do, you will be under a large amount of stress. Trust me on that one. But we're dealing with a waveform of light energy, white Christ light energy, the energy of the Almighty in the universe and the way things should be. And then we're dealing with another dark energy. And we have both of these energies right now existing together in unity. And we're talking about a dark waveform that is sweeping humanity, trying to push in this direction that the controllers, the elite, the Illuminati, whatever you would call them, would like to push humanity, because that way they can have all the control of the power. Because the vibration is down to that level that accepts that reality to manifest. We're talking about shifting that. And with that, we're going to go to the first phone call. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Great.
Well, you know, talk about Christmas. What our government gave to us was more of the Patriot Act for Christmas.
That's a great gift, isn't it?
All right, go ahead. Tell us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, they extended it for 6 months, I believe, is what they ended up doing. I think also we're going to get a fence now down on the Mexican border, a 1,000-mile fence. And I believe you were the one that told me that we're also going to be getting one up on the Canadian border soon. Are they? What are they trying to do? Box us in, or keep people out?
Well, they're probably doing what Israel is trying to do, and that is to keep people in.
Well, another thing they give us for Christmas is this new Viper program. This new Viper program is this coalition. It's part of the whole Posse Comitatus end of martial law concept. And what that is it's all these different groups, all these different agencies getting together and going through the Maxes, the bus, the subway, cars, trains, planes, automobiles, everything to fight this threat.
Is that the air marshals?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about that too. Yeah, the air marshals, they're going to be everywhere now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they'll be shooting more mentally ill people too.
Exactly.
Merry Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
Paul, I appreciate a lot of your help.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for your letters.
I know I don't have time to email you. You know, I'm busy. I get a lot of people's emails. Don't take offense if I don't get back, but I'm trying to coordinate a lot of things right now.
Oh, I know. I know I send you a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. You send me some good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate your guys' show. And, hey, one quick thing. You talk about, the monitoring the cars. Well, up in Canada, they're doing the same thing. But they're actually going a step further, and they've made it so they can actually cut your engine off and stop you in your tracks.
Well, that happens. They have that technology now. They call it silent weapons for quiet wars. So yes, that technology is available to disable vehicles and maybe even disable you if you're not careful.
Yeah. You know, what I find interesting about that, Paul, we're gonna have to go to the next call. Thank you, though.
All right, have a good one, guys.
It is, like I said earlier, how it's happening, how it's sweeping, going across the board, leveling the playing field in the surveillance society. That's really important to know. And we'll go to the next call.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Excellent.
I have just a quick question, and I just want your opinion on something.
Uh-huh.
Tonight on all of the national news programs, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and Fox, they made this big to-do about all these big mega churches that are closing down tomorrow on Christmas Day. They're not going to be having services, those big evangelical churches in Texas and Colorado and Kansas and places like that. 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 member churches. They have decided to send the families to be, or send the people to be home with their families on Christmas Day, and they're not doing services. And there's a lot of other evangelical church leaders, pastors, particularly Baptist and Methodist, who are calling them hypocritical for closing down the churches on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, or have you heard about it even?
I think it's great that the churches are closing down on Christmas Day and allowing families to be with each other, because that's what Christmas is for individual spirituality. And I think those who bring out the religion and wear it on their sleeves and force people. See, what you're seeing, when you see people like, I call them the religious tools, when you see people like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell up there telling you there's a war on Christmas, what it is that their monopolizing of belief systems is not happening, and so they freak out and think that there's some persecution going on. You can't tell me that when you have 95% of white America that's Christian saying that Christmas is being abolished, when I hear that coming out of their mouths, I think how stupid they are, right. And how they don't know that in 1920 it was
basically Henry Ford who brought up the war on Christmas, and he blamed the Jews. So what you're really doing is you're hearing this rancor that's all based in anti-Semitism from the 1920s by Henry Ford, who was a Nazi sympathizer.
We do not have to go along with the administration's idea of their book of Revelations, the ones that they are rewriting.
Right.
You know, look, 2006 belongs to us, people. It belongs to us. We create our reality. That is not a conspiracy theory. That's how it is. When we march and we face the global elite and we stand side by side, brother and brother, sister and sister, mother and father, look the global elite straight in the eye and say, no more. We're not going to accept your dehumanization. We're not going to accept the cameras in the bathroom. We're not going to accept the war on lies. We know what you did on 9/11. We're going to make you pay. We're going to get you out of the White House. When more and more Americans get together, put aside their politics, and fight that corrupt system, and then begin to change the energy. Now, that is something spiritual. That is something where the energy begins to change. Once they reach that critical mass, that consciousness, the collective reality, the 100th monkey syndrome, where everybody on the planet knows something's wrong.
I think they know that something. I think they know that something's wrong, Alex, and I think a lot of people are waking up. But I think the positive angle to this is in 2006, we will be hearing about impeachment proceedings. We will be hearing about the crimes that have been committed in our own government, that the murders have taken place right there on 1600 Pennsylvania.
We got two phone calls. No more phone calls. Both of you are going to have to keep it really short. I'm sorry, but we're going to go to the first one, then we'll go to the second one.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I love your show, but I was just wondering, I was looking at Google Earth. I don't know if you spent much time with Google Earth. And if you look at Washington, D.C., there's a giant upside-down pentagram built into the roadways there.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like all the Christians of America who think that our government is, you know, this pro-Christian, pro-light movement.
It's all over the board. Washington, D.C., Austin, Texas, even Austin. I saw it with my own eyes firsthand. There is a lot of demonic symbols involved in Washington, D.C. in the layout. In fact, I'm going to talk about that in my next film.
Texas Longhorns, the satanic hand signal.
That is not what that means, right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, thank you for bringing that up. We'll go on the next call. You're going to have to keep it down to 30 seconds. I'm sorry, we're running out of time. Pat Robertson flashed this symbol as he talked about, I love the surveillance society. And he threw that up. Oh, the war, this is so Christian. The war in Iraq is so Christian. Oh!
Just remember if somebody asks you what this means. It means devil's got your nose.
Satanism, it's very simple. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
How's it going? I just want to make a comment about the Christmas thing.
Yeah.
You know, I understand you say you're a Christian and everything, but, you know, first of all, people should know that Jesus' birthday isn't even in December.
I know.
It's actually in August.
Actually, it's debated between August and September.
But despite that, you know, you have to look at the history of the country.
10 seconds.
You know, and...
10 seconds, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, and the country's values include Christmas, and there is a war on Christmas. That's why kids can't
there
even say
no
Christmas.
There is no war on Christmas.
Yeah, there is, because kids can't even say
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, they can. I have kids say it
no,
all the time.
Hey.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah,
there is no war on Christmas. It's a phony rage created
Clyde,
by Fox.
Please
understand that.
Clyde, we're out of time.
I'm sorry.
We're out of time.
Merry Christmas.
We can't get in all these partisan politics.
Merry Christmas.
Put your left and right apart.
Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Merry
even
Christmas.
Even if you're alone. We've seen the corruption. We've seen the lies.
I'm saying
we've
Merry
seen
Christmas.
The blood.
Christmas.
We can create a new year in 2006. Until next year, I'm Alex Ansari reminding you, there still is a war for your mind.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.